We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're having a good one. Another hot one in store for today. Hopefully we get some rain this evening. 98 at Granfield. That is the hot spot in the whole state of Oklahoma. 87 at Beaver, 88 at the May Ranch, 92 at Lahoma, 93 at Eric, 94 at Hollis. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, more of the same. 89 at Lipscomb, 92 at Wellington, 96 at Odell. McLean, you're 88 degrees. All right, it's going to be another warm one. Man, the state line is really benefiting from some good rains like yesterday evening. I didn't look at my phone correctly, it looked like there was a flash flood warning over there around Wheeler in Wheeler County. So get some rain, get some good rain. I will let you know, I won't let you know who, but somebody has decided it's time to put some seed in the ground. I wish him good luck. I think I agged him on a little bit, but anyway, he sent me a picture this morning of his ground after he was cultivating it. Man, it does look good. Put her in the ground. What's the worst could happen? I remember back in the day over around Foss, we dusted some in. Sometimes we sold some at the end of August just because we needed the wheat pasture. Got cattle to feed. So you got to do what you got to do. I mean, the worst that happened, you had to replant it. But the fertilizer prices. Woo. Anyway, he was telling me he's putting down 125 pounds of fertilizer and is running around $46 an acre. So inputs are high this year. Yeah, cattle are high, blah, blah, blah. But it's just, I see there's a lot going on national news and RFD TV and stuff like that, talking about farming, and a lot of farmers are hurting right now. And people, this is the part that I hate. People are blaming Trump. Row crop farming, for the most part, and some other farming was in the tank long before Trump come up on. So hopefully they're blaming tariffs and stuff like that. I don't know. I got mixed feelings about it. I don't think it's his fault. I think there's nothing changed since the 70s in farmers except for the cost. You can disagree with me or agree with me on that. You look back at the prices of commodities back in the late 70s, early 80s, and compare them to today, there's nothing changed. Yes, a couple of years ago, we had some good corn prices. 3 or 4 years ago, we had some good wheat prices. That's 1 year. And so to blame it on one certain person right now, I don't think that's right. I think we can blame it on all of them. The previous administrations, ever since the 70s, late 70s. And the cattle prices right now, yes, they're good. They're keep going up. And the board's up again today. And people giving the same money for a 500-pounder as they are giving a 600-pounder. That don't work out. That won't work out. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I don't see how it will. But so, you know, just to blame it on one person, I just think that's wrong, or one administration, let me rephrase that, and is wrong. It's the system. The paper pushers on the boards are the ones to blame, as far as I'm concerned. They're playing games with people's lives out here with the trading, and we can't let them make that kind of money. And big ag, and I hate to say this, but big ag is a big plus on it. You know, tractor that cost $40,000 back in the early 80s is a couple hundred thousand a day. But we got to have it. I mean, what do you tell a farmer? You can't buy that tractor. You can't afford it. Well, how am I going to farm this ground? Well, you're going to have to just sell it to a solar farm. Well, come on. We got to feed the world. And biosecurity for Americans is very important. And farmers are a big, big, big part of that biosecurity. They raise your food, period. Californian farmers are getting taxed for their water now, using their irrigation water now. And I'll talk about that if I have time today. If not, tomorrow I'll be talking about it. Just all this little stuff. The New World screwworm shut the border down. That's good. I mean, we need it to. It's called food biosecurity. So we need it to. But it's causing some issues with cattle numbers also. And I know a lot of guys out there want to make sure we know where our beef's coming from that you buy in the store. And they tried to label beef back in the where it came from back in the day, and it just didn't work. So you got to depend on the consumer to go in there and look and see what they want to buy. It's their going. And as I always says, you can always solve that problem where you know where your beef comes from if you just buy from a local producer around here. Problem solved. It's easy solved. Let's see what happened in our big old world of agriculture overnight. Corn futures were lower in overnight trading. From reports from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour on indications that crops are maturing under favorable conditions. Scouts toured fields in South Dakota and Ohio as part of the annual tour of the Midwest to gauge the corn and soybean crops. Corn fields in South Dakota are forecast to yield 174.18 bushels an acre, up 11% year over year, and well ahead of the prior three-year average of 144 bushels per acre. That's quite a bit of difference, 30 bushels to be exact. Soybean pod counts in a 3x3 square foot area, is projected at 1,188 in South Dakota, up 16% from a year earlier. That's also projected to be higher than average of the 970.1 pods for this time of the year. In Ohio, corn yields are expected of 185.69 bushels an acre, an improvement from 183 bushels last year. Pod counts are projected at 1,287 pods in that 3x3 area, and that's an increase of 4.7% year over year, and an increase from 1,204 pods same time last year. About 71% of the U.S. corn was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week, down from 72% 7 days ago or prior to that report. Some 68% of soybeans earned top ratings, unchanged week to week. Wheat futures were lower overnight as winter harvest nears a close and collection of spring varieties roll on. About 94% of the U.S. winter crop was in the bin as of Sunday, up from 90% a week earlier. 36% of the spring wheat crop was harvested at the start of the week versus 16% the week prior. Half the spring wheat was in good or excellent condition, up 1 percentage point from the prior week. Corn futures overnight for December delivery on the Chicago Board of Trade dropped 4 cents to $4.02 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 0.75 cents to 10.40 and a half a bushel. Soy meal was up 270 to 294.50 a short ton, and soybean oil lost 0.57 cents or a half a penny to 52.75 cents a pound. Wheat futures for September delivery declined 3.25 cents to 5.21 and 3/4 cents a bushel, while Kansas City futures were down 5 cents to 5.23 and a quarter a bushel. What's else going on here? Basically, according to the National Weather Service, the extreme heat is going to persist in a large chunk of the Midwest, including Oklahoma. Central Oklahoma and eastern Oklahoma is going to get the brunt of it. Storms are forecast for parts of southwestern Nebraska and northwestern Kansas into today and this evening. And that's about it. Nothing major going on. Today is Hay Day Tuesday, 580-225-9697. Got some hay you want to sell or you need to buy some? Let me know on the text line, please. And Hay Day Tuesday is brought to you by Great Plains Bank. So I have a Great Plains hay question of the day. You guys ready? What is the chemical in, that won't come up. Why won't it? My computer froze. There it is. What is the chemical in the blister bug that's the toxin that will hurt horses and any, most other people and hurt people's skin too? What is the toxin called in the blister beetles or bugs, as I call them, that is harmful to horses? I'll take that number 7 correct answer on the text line, 580-225-9697. Probably going to have to Google it unless you're an autonomous or entomologist. Anyway, that's the question of the day. I'll let you know what you're going to win here when we get done. You're going to be, it's going to be a good one. So, all right, let's take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. We'll be right back. Hopefully I can get a hold of Brandon. Be right back and we'll have your Central Crop Care LLC Ag Market Update right after this break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high-pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in 5 states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed then moves through the plant to protect it, from roots to shoots, for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army worms, you're out of here. Learn more at corteva.us/lumavia CPL.
Cattle producers need cattle buyers. Buyers go where they'll know they'll get good stuff. That's why cattle buyers go 4 miles east to Clinton, Oklahoma every Monday morning. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction brings multiple feeder calf and cow buyers every week. This helps producers get the top of the market. That's why it's such a good place to bring your animals. WestOKLivestockAuction.com has the details. The sale every Monday morning at 10 o'clock has the beat.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I got to do the grain market update, the Central Crop Care LLC ag market update. Corn, September, 380, down 3. Soybeans for September, 10-11, down 9 3/4. Soybean meal, September, 283.30, up 290. Soybean oil, September, 51.76, down 151. Hard red winter wheat, September, 5 even, down 6 1/4. Live cattle. August 236.60, down 12. October's 231.92, up 75. December's 233.85, up 57. Feeders for August, 351.55, up 265. September's 353.62, up 270. And October's 353.32, up 307. Well, on the phone with me right this minute is the world famous Brandon Hickey of the Roger Mills County Type.
Good afternoon.
How's Mr. Brandon going?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful.
Well, before we get into our normal conversation, let's start out with Elk City Livestock Auction. 1,694 went through the ring Friday. How about that?
Yep. Nice run. Good run of calves. Good run of cows. Good day, good market. Everything's just rolling.
Yeah, it's rolling, all right. Well, of course, the one that really caught my eye was there was a couple, actually. On the boys' side, three head from Mangum, weighing 328, brought $605 per hundredweight.
Mm-hmm. Yep, broke that $6 level on the three weights, and we broke it. $5 level on the four weights, and Box Beach has went over and broken the $4 level. It's wild and crazy times.
Yeah, it's kind of like a rodeo without clowns.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that makes sense, but that's what come out of my mouth.
it's just
crazy. And then on the girl side, all the numbers on the girl side are just really impressive, but they're just between the mid three weights all the way up to the seven weights. They're just not a lot of difference. I mean, there is, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. There's good participation at pretty well every weight class. I mean, and everybody, I mean, you know, everybody wants to try to find somewhere to get in that they can make some money. There's lots of people out there that would like to be running some cattle, like to be running some calves. You know, they all hunting for the opportunity where the weight class that they can get in and you know, maybe make a little bit of money. And you know, and the potential is there, without a doubt. But you know, it's always easy to make money when the market keeps going up every day. But you know, everybody's being aggressive, but you know, also a little bit cautious that, you know, we're at some point in time we're gonna be at the top, and you know, whether we go down fast or whether we ease back down, nobody knows. But that's the scary uncertainty side of it.
Yeah, it is. And then here's the big one: the bred cows and the pairs. Over $4,000 for bred cows, $4,700 for pairs. But according to what I read yesterday from Dr. Johnson at OSU, there's still opportunities according to the numbers, for the next 2 years to make money. Make money. Well, you're going to make money, but actually get your calf or your cow paid off in a good chance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're still that if you can find them, they're still the best buy going, because, I mean, you're looking at, we've always kind of had to figure that it's going to take 2.5 to 3 calves to pay off a good young bred cow or pair, 2.5 to 3 calves, I should say, to pay off a good young pair. And right now, with the current calf prices, you're be able to get that done in 2 right now. So we're a little bit behind the normal ratio, the normal percentage that you kind of figure on a good young bred cow or pair, how many calves it's going to take to pay for them. So they may be the best buy going. But like I say, if they're not real easy to find. But it seems like that initial investment seems like a lot. But with what these calves are bringing, we just can't hardly get anything now that's not going to cost you $2,000 a head on these calves. I mean, you got to get in pretty light weight class, to stay under that $2,000, and that adds up pretty quick when you go to talking about paying for a cow. But I understand the worry, about it. Is it, how long are these calf prices going to be this good? The numbers aren't increasing real fast, and I think what you said that Dr. Peel said that at the OCA convention, we could be looking, at maybe as much of as a decade of these kind of prices. But if nothing weird happens. Nothing weird happens is the scary part. So,
well, it's just like a good marriage, A good marriage will last forever as long as something weird don't happen. So it's a gamble either way. Maybe I shouldn't use that for comparisons, but there's is there any heifer retention going on? According to everything you're seeing, there probably is something going on, mm-hmm. but not on a big scale. Not that's going to get anybody's attention yet.
Right.
And so we are in the fall also, and heifer retention will happen. If it's going to happen with this year's crop, it's going to happen now, because looking at next spring for your breeding and everything. But like that deal you and I talked about a couple weeks ago, you're looking at this year's calf crop. If you keep them for a heifer, it's going to be 5 years before that calf gets to the feedlot.
Right.
And what they're saying. It's not quite 5 years, but really close.
Yeah.
So maybe Dr. Peel's onto something, and he's not the only one. So,
right.
But it just, it's one of those deals. It's a good deal. Well, that's going to do. So you got anything cool coming in this Friday?
Got a really nice run of older, middle-aged to older bred cows coming in this week. I've got one really nice set of replacement quality heifers, big, nice, ready-to-breed kind of replacement quality heifers coming in. Going to be a nice little package of them. Got several bunches of calves lined up coming in. Some of these. The fall run is really kind of starting to get started. I mean, we're not in the heat of it by any means, but we are starting to see a lot of these reputation ranch calves going ahead and coming to town. And there's right now there's not a lot of advantage from taking them from a 5 weight on up to a 6 weight. Getting them off the cows, now and taking advantage of this good market and not worrying so much about trying to get that next 100 pounds on them, because there's really not on at least on the ball and calf side there's not a lot of advantage to putting that next 100 pounds on. So there's some of them guys going ahead and pulling off the cows, letting them cows get healed up, and letting the grass grow a little bit, and it is drying up just a little bit from what we were earlier this spring, but yeah, we getting some nice reputation ranch calves coming about every week now.
Well, they, yeah, hey, I had to let you in on something. I didn't know if you heard me at the first of the show. And like I said, I'm not going to mention his name yet until we figure out if it's a failure or a success. But one of your buyers is going to plant some Truticow today.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. So we're just going to, we're going to wait to let the cat out of the bag when we know what kind of story it is.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, we're past the middle of August, and I talked to a guy yesterday at the sale, and he wasn't thinking today, but he was thinking by the first of the next week, he was going to start putting some triticale in the ground, start getting some triticale sold, and for that he was sure enough going to graze. He was thinking the same thing. He just about 3 or 4 days behind the buyer you're talking about.
So,
it's coming. We've definitely got some submoisture available, which is exciting. And like I say, it's dried out a little bit, but there was some rain. It made it all the way to me here at Foss, but it didn't make it on east. Night before last, we got a little dab of rain here, and I think they got some rain back towards Cheyenne, and I think even Elk City got some. So, you know, there's been still some rain around. So, it's exciting to think about wheat prospects. It's exciting to think about how monstrous they're acting like this corn crop is about to be. I've heard some absolutely amazing stories on some of the corn around here, how much silage that some of that has made, that green chopped some of that, and the tonnage that was made of silage. I mean, you know, we're just in a really unusual circumstance that, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see this again, that you know, there's lots of pasture availability, there's lots of feed availability, you know, the moisture's come right, you know, everybody's got grass, everybody looks like they could potentially make wheat, the corn crop looks to be huge, the soybean crop looks to be huge, the amount of silage and hay that's been bitten put up is just phenomenal, you know, it just, and not enough cattle to go around.
Yeah,
to eat up all that roughage that we've got available, all that roughage and grain, we don't have enough cattle to eat it all. So,
well, people are just going to have to eat more cornbread. Yeah, because I was reading earlier, South Dakota, they just Pro Farmer just got through with their tour, and South Dakota's corn crop is going to average 30 more bushels per acre than their average.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
Unbelievable. Oh yeah, yeah. You're talking about you know, a lot of product, a lot of grain. Yeah, it's everything is just. I just don't know that. I'm sure this has happened before, but you know, I don't know when it was, and I don't, you know, I doubt I'll ever see it again in my lifetime. That just so much pasture, so much forage, so much roughage, so much grain. Available to feed cattle and not enough cattle to go around to feed them all that we have available. It's just very, very, very unusual circumstances that we're in.
Yep. Well, let's go down I-40 to Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, and you had 1,045 go through the ring yesterday. And honestly, I hadn't looked at it. I when you sent it to me last night, I glanced at it. And I just thought the girls did wonderful yesterday. That's what caught my attention.
Yeah. kind of reversed the trend a little bit for about the probably the previous three Mondays, maybe longer than that, but for sure for the previous three, we've been heavy to the steer side on the feedlot ready cattle, you know, by quite a little bit. And this week we flip-flopped.
Yeah.
We had a considerably higher percentage of feedlot-ready heifers this week, hadn't had a real good test on the feeder heifer market for the last several weeks, because it had just been, you know, predominantly steers and not as much heifers to really get started on putting loads together. And this week we flip flopped and you could buy two loads in one draft and several half loads or more on some other drafts and some other consignments. And the buyers knew that coming in, were aware of that. They had their pistols loaded and came a-firing what their companies that they worked for, what they were willing to give to get some of these cattle in there to feed. There's a lot of good commodity heifers, good condition coming off the grass, framed up good and handled right, where, there's not going to be any health trouble with those cattle. And them guys, they multiple bidders on every set of those heifers that came in the door. I mean, just five or six bidders to start with on every set. An auctioneer looked at me when that first two loads started coming in the ring, and he said, where should I start them at, 230? And I said, yeah, that'd be as good a place as any. I don't think you'll have to back up.
Yeah. Woo. No, yeah, there wasn't no backing up yesterday. And then on the boys' side, I didn't study too much, but you sit there and look at the 4 and 5 weights. Your light 4 weights was bringing 470. Your middle of the run 5 weights was running 435. And it's 100 pounds difference and a few cents, pennies difference. So it's, and then you get to those 5 to 6 weights, like you were talking about earlier, just not much going on.
Yeah.
Price-wise. Yeah, it's going on, but it's just not much of a change.
Yeah. And something that I noticed yesterday, and this trend has kind of been happening, been kind of seeing it, happen for about the last 3 weeks. But the cattle are hard enough to come by, and because of that, it's causing these buyers to give even more of a premium for big, nice matched groups. The everything's high, but when you run one of those, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 head drafts of a match set in, it gets even more out of control than what it already is. Not very many times in Western Oklahoma at these sell barns do you get to buy, 19 391 pound matched up black baldy steers. And you see them right up there at the top of the market sample. That was a 580, I think it was, a pound.
Yep.
That's almost a 4 weight at almost $6 a pound. I mean, that's getting up there in a dollar per head figure in a hurry. Nothing else was that high. But the rest of the heavy 3 and 4 weight cattle, light 4 weight cattle that we saw were, 3 to 5, 8 head drafts, but so you get, almost 3 times as many in a draft. Well, it makes a difference. And same way with, those 46 head of 640 something weight steers. I mean, those was right off the cows. And
657
raising and a max set. Yeah. And there was multiple bidders that, wanted to buy that big nice set. There's always a little bit of premium for matched sets, especially with black baldy cattle match set numbers. There's always a little bit of a premium, but it's showing up even more this year with the where we're at on the numbers. That the fact that we're low on numbers, that premium is showing up even more on some of those bigger drafts of sure enough matched home race cattle. It's always there, but we're up here in the trees and it's even more predominant, prevalent.
Yep. They Well, it's going to be interesting what Friday brings around, because we have, three more days till Friday sale. And we'll see what. Oh, I want to tell you, here in about 4 weeks, mm-hmm. I need you to let one of your buyers know that I'm bringing in a Charley heifer.
Okay.
This is weighing about 6 right now. Uh-huh. That's had all of her shots. And I just wanted you to let that one certain buyer know that I'm bringing in a Charley. And the only reason why it's got any white hair on it to start with is because of the neighbor's bull. And it's not a bad looking heifer. It's going to have all of its vaccinations and stuff going on. So it's, I just want you know, and you know who that buyer is.
Well, and so my guess is that there's a particular person that sits at Friday at Elk, you know, every Friday, that he what is going through his mind right now. I'm reading his mind if he's listening to this. What is going through his mind is, you've got a 600-pound Charley heifer, and you're selling her now separate from all the others because she's outgrown them so much.
It's not true. And I have paperwork to back it up. She was the lightest of the bunch. And that's the reason why she's getting sold. And she doesn't have any brindle in her either. But she does have a long tail. But anyway, all right, I got time. You got time for the Jimmy scenario question to Brandon?
You bet.
All right. I warned you last week we're going to be talking about the Big Four today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we all hear as cattle producers all hear about the Big Four. They're the reason why this and this and that. We hear it all the time, year in, year out. It doesn't matter whether it's good, bad, or ugly on the cattle market. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've been seeing a lot of reports right now that the processors are in the red right now. It doesn't matter whether it's the Big Four or the next one, number 5. So I kind of look at it with a more of an open mind. I realize that these Big Four supposedly are not 100% American owned companies. I realize that. Yeah. And but I kind of leave in an open mind, and I hope this doesn't sound silly to people, but without these processors, no matter whether they're the Packers, whether they're the little guy or the big guy, you know, who's going to buy your cattle? Now, am I looking at that wrong?
No. I mean, you obviously you've got to have a processor. Got to have processors for your product. I mean, that's the case with anything. Whether any perishable product, to food product. I mean, you've got to have a processor. I mean, it's no difference with the grain, the fruits, the vegetables, you know, all of that. You've got to have a processor available to it. So I don't. To me, the question isn't, you know, what do we do without them? You know, the
right.
Question is why did you know in 1930 something the government come in and broke up the Packer monopoly because they thought the Packers were getting a stranglehold on thing, and they broke up the Packer monopoly. You know how many there was at the time that they broke it up?
No, I
if
don't.
If I remember correctly, if my history serves me correctly, and I might not be totally right on this, but it'll be pretty close. At the time that they broke it up, there were 16 major Packer companies in the United States. And somehow, you know, that 16, I think they broke up that 16 and, you know, turned it into 32 or whatever. Well, somehow we've now, you know, from 90 something years later, you know, we're getting close to 100 years later, that 30 some has now dwindled down to 4 major Packers. Now there's a lot of small regional Packers around the country that are doing a good job and doing it in a regional way, you know, that are not harvesting near the number of cattle that the major four are. the issue is that the major four, you know, the four that you've got that everybody knows about that harvest, you know, I want to say they're at 80%. Those four are at about 80% of the cattle harvested in the United States. Those four get them, and you know, and then all your regionals and your smalls, you know, divide up the other 20%. And then that percentage might not be exactly accurate, but
I bet you're pretty close.
It's probably that or more. So the issue therein is that you've only got four that you're getting negotiated prices with. You're really only dealing with four players, and those four players are dictating on the cash basis. They're not having to really compete against each other. You know, they've kind of somewhat regionalized. They kind of somewhat stay out of each other's territories, this, that, and the other. So they're, you know, ultimately what your negotiated cash sales are is what everything gets based off of. And so, you know, you're negotiating cash sales on the bottom 10% of your cattle that you're selling these cattle on a live weight basis, and they're negotiating it every week. and it, you know, it's varying somewhat by how bad they need cattle. I mean, you know, they're driving it up. It's driven a lot higher than I thought it might right now because they are in the need of cattle. But that is ultimately what dictates that, you know, that's the starting point for all of your grid. So you've got four people, four what should be competing packers that really aren't competing against each other. But you've got them four that are setting the price without having to do any real competition on everything.
Right.
So, you know, thank God for some of the regional packers that we do have, you know, that are stepping up and buying some of these cattle and helping drive that price up. And some of these smaller regional guys, you know, are we're short enough on cattle that they're stepping in there and giving a high cash price for some of these, but that doesn't show up. You know, it only shows up what these big major four are given. And thank God we do have some smaller local and regional packers that are picking some of these cattle up out of some of these yards, you know, and doing, you know, giving a good price for them. That's ultimately pushing the packers to have to give a little bit more. But again, I mean, you know, you're just always in a better situation, you know, the more competitive bidders and buyers you've got,
right,
you know, at any time. I mean, any time, you know, at my sale barn Monday or Friday, you know, and I walk in there and we get ready to see the cow sale start. And most weeks, you know, I've got multiple local guys there for the take-home cows. And, you know, and I've got at least four sitting there for the butcher cows and bulls. You know, well, anytime you walk in there and you know, one of those four is missing at just my little place, you know, where you know, we're talking about, you know, two to 400 packer cows and bulls a week for just the packer cows and bulls. Anytime you take one of those out of the equation, you know, you're worried a little bit. You're a little bit concerned. You know, is this going to, you know, how is this going to affect the market if you take one player out? And so you know, you talk about four, you know, nationwide that are affecting everything. They're affecting the prices for all of us on a nationwide basis. When you're talking about, you know, and I know our kills are we was all the way down to 430,000 or 440,000 last week, which is, you know, 200,000 head below normal. You know, and that they start, you know, cutting days off their kill. They start, you know, trying to back cattle up, you know, to up the weight, up the carcass weight, to get more beef out of every carcass. And again, there's something to be said for that too, because then they want to dock you for big carcasses on some of them grids and whatnot. But we won't get into all that today. But
no, we'll save, you know, that for next week.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I asked you that question, because, like I said, I'm very open minded, and I'm not saying one or other was the right or wrong here, but I just You know, there had to be a reason for it, and right now supply and demand's driving a good market. But what happens when we get back to normal, you know?
Right.
Well, Brandon, I got to go. We're way over today. I'm probably going to be in trouble.
That.
Yeah, and I might have to start calling you at the first of the show. but thanks again for your insight on that. That was very informative, and I've already got some people texting in, and that he's right on the money on that deal. So appreciate it, and we'll see you Friday.
All right, sounds great.
All right, we got to take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gretiman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex Cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex Cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
Money may not buy happiness, but it can buy a bag of cotton candy, a burger, a rodeo ticket, and the chance to see some pretty darn good bull riding, barrel racing, and all the other rodeo events, too. Hi, everybody. Wayne Brooks here inviting you to the Rodeo of Champions in Elk City, August 29th, 30th, and 31st to watch the best rodeo action around. Brought to you by Barbara Dyson Ford. Get your tickets online at elkcityrodeo.com. It's the Elk City Rodeo, August 29th, 30th, and 31st. See you there.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner. And they're just elated. They're thrilled. They finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Your farm deserves only the best, and that's why Valley Genuine Parts are crafted to meet the highest standards to elevate your pivot's performance. Covering all your pivot needs, Valley Genuine Parts provide optimal operation and extend the life of your pivots. From drivetrain components to sprinkler parts, invest in the best for your farm. Valley is your partner in irrigation success. Stop by Knutson Irrigation or call 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. We're going to do a quick weather update for northwestern Oklahoma and go back to break. So we'll come back. I think we'll have time for Hay Day Tuesday. If not, we'll do it tomorrow. I apologize. That was just a really good topic with Brandon that I wanted to talk to him about. Arnett, Oklahoma, home of Lori Campbell. 93 degrees, 94 is what it feels like. Heat risk is moderate, dew point 64, humidity 39, no wind if it is out of the north. 0.61 of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 87. 20% chance of thunderstorms today, 95 for a high, 68 for a low tonight, 30% chance of thunderstorms. Not so hot tomorrow, but still warm, 93, mostly sunny. Be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because there's nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
We do brakes, alignments, oil changes, filter services. You know, if it's a fuel filter, air filter, we'll replace the front end parts on alignments, ball joints, tie rods. We don't do any engine work, but we do about everything else. Oil changes is something your car has to have done. There's many choices. We have a lot of repeats just because we take care of them. They come in, we get them out. They don't have to question, worry about if something was bad. Did you check it over? You know, if they call and make an appointment, we get them in and out a little quicker. They can show up. If it happens to be the right spot, we can get them right in and out. If not, you know, say it may be an hour or so, they'll leave it, come back, you know, on their lunch break or whatever. We have a lot of those every day. L&R Tire, 1204 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma.
The home of Bridgestone Firestone Tires.
At L&R Tire, we'll take good care of your vehicle.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
My papa started Hutton Inc. in 1983.
And now our uncle runs it just like papa did.
We're learning the ropes too, because this isn't just dirt work, it's family legacy.
From GPS guided earthwork to excavation, house and building pads, topsoil and aggregate sales, drainage repair, forklift and manlift rentals, Hutton Inc. does it all.
3 generations strong, we move the earth and your future.
Call Hutton Inc. at 580-225-0225.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 11th. 1,229 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 339 brought 540. 10 at 515 brought 435. 13 at 557 brought 385. 10 at 638 brought 402.50. 12 at 778 brought 371. 34 at 833 brought 337. 5 head of heifers at 399 brought 425. 4 at 513 brought 367.50. 3 at 595 brought 337.50. 11 at 676 brought 330. 5 at 817 brought 285. 12 at 953 brought 278. Butcher cows were 122 to 179. Butcher bulls brought 150 to 210. Bred cows 1850 to 3550. Pairs 3100 to 4200. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Tipton, Oklahoma. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. 98 degrees, 103 is what it feels like. 68 dew point, humidity's 38, sunset at 8:21. 100 degrees today, is it? 20% chance of thunderstorms, 75 tonight, 30% chance of thunderstorms, and 20% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow and 98. And I apologize. We're going to do Hay Day Tuesdays on Wednesday tomorrow, and we'll do it in the second segment. And I apologize for that, but we'll get it done because I had some people that texted in some, and we'll get it tomorrow. Apologize. Hope you guys get a shot of rain tonight. See you tomorrow, Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless everybody.